It's something that is unique. There is nothing else in our experience that we can compare it with.
What does it actually feel like for you?
I was shaking, and at the end of it, I was almost in tears, as were other adults.
It's almost like the rapture or something.
I think that's a very good way of saying it, like the rapture, yes.
Hi, I'm Flora Lichtman, and this is Every Little Thing from Gimlet Media. Here's what we're all about. This show gives the ordinary, the everyday, a second look. Because, and I think we can all agree on this, upon close inspection, there's always more to it. And today's show, our first show, is about exactly this. It's about giving a long, close look to something that's easy to take for granted, and in the process, finding rapture. Unlike other rapturous experiences, though, this one is highly predictable. People know exactly when and where to go to find it.
Thank you for calling the Elk Country Inn. How may I help you?
Hi, I was wondering if you have any rooms available for August 20th and 21st?
I'm sorry, I do not. Hilton Garden Inn at Old Falls.
Hi, do you have any rooms available for August 20th and 21st?
Last I looked, we were sold out.
No, I'm sorry, we don't.
Yes, we just have a couple suites left. That's all we have.
And what's the rate?
And the rate for those ones are $1,200 before tax per night.
What's your usual rate?
In the summer, it starts at $369 before tax per night.
We've been full for 3 years.
You've been full for 3 years?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Do you know, are there any other rooms in town?
No. Nothing.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's all right. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't honestly know of anywhere in Jackson or even in Idaho that has rooms at this time.
Maybe I'll have to get my tent.
Honestly, it's probably not a bad way to go. I think they're expecting somewhere around 100,000 people. They're saying it's going to be the biggest single event in Jackson history.
That's right. The biggest event in Jackson, Wyoming history is coming August 21st. And if you have your finger on the pulse of astronomical events, you already know what this is all about. And if you don't, here it is. A solar eclipse. In particular, a total solar eclipse will hit the U.S. on August 21. And if you're in Jackson, Wyoming, or a number of other spots across the country, you'll be able to see it, you know, if you can get a hotel. And if you can't, there's a group of people you can begrudge, people who organize their lives around seeing the moon block out the sun.
People who chase eclipses, which is like myself, I suppose, it's simply that once you've experienced the phenomenon, you want to experience it again.
That's Frank Close. By day, he's a particle physicist, nothing to do with eclipses. But in his spare time, he is an eclipse chaser.
On the average, if you sit at some place on Earth and wait for a total solar eclipse to arrive, you'd have to wait on the average about 400 years.
But they happen somewhere on Earth every 18 months. So eclipse chasers travel the globe to meet solar eclipses where they're happening. Frank has traveled to the South Pacific to see an eclipse. He's gone to Zambia. In 2006, he went to Libya.
Colonel Gaddafi, who was then still alive and in charge of the place, had decided, probably for political reasons, to open the country up so that people could come and see the eclipse. And we had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The plan was to drive 300 miles in these buses into the middle of the Sahara Desert to meet the eclipse path.
All went well till about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then suddenly we started getting overtaken by people on motorbikes and then cars and so on. It seemed that everybody in Benghazi and the surrounding area who had completed the morning prayers at sunrise were now getting into their vehicles and heading off into the desert to see the eclipse.
So they're in heavy traffic in the middle of the desert. Cars are getting stuck in the sand.
It took us 8 hours to get there. And suddenly, after having passed through one sand dune after another. There was a sign stuck in the sand which said, eclipse site, 1 kilometre. And we crossed the next rise, and there in the middle of nowhere were lots of people setting up telescopes and apparatus and so forth, and sunshade, because, of course, the eclipse hadn't started. The temperature was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
There they are in the desert. They're waiting for first contact, when the moon first goes in front of the sun. And from there, it takes about an hour or so to get to totality, when the moon is fully obscuring the sun. But in those last few minutes before totality, the environment starts to change, Frank said. Temperatures drop, the wind can pick up. People sometimes describe it like a storm coming. Birds and insects begin making their evening calls. And then there's that moment when the moon fully obscures the sun. And this is where it can get kind of freaky.
I could see this black hole in the sky with this shimmering, ghostly, silvery light around it. That's the solar corona. And then the shadow of the moon is darkness. You see the night sky above you. You can see Venus and a couple of stars. And then as you come down towards the horizon, this dark dome turns into a deep purple and then a maroon. It looked as if life and energy and everything had been sucked off into the depths of space.
It does seem kind of frightening, like our whole source of life on this planet inked out for a moment.
In that moment, everything that you take for granted has suddenly gone. And then 2 minutes later, the sun reappears and you breathe a sigh of relief and life goes on.
Frank has traveled to 7 total solar eclipses. He also wrote a book called Eclipse, Journeys to the Dark Side of the Moon, which comes out in May. But this eclipse chase had a twist. Frank and his cohort get back into the buses, but instead of going home, to their surprise, their bus driver takes them farther into the desert.
And it was quite bizarre because suddenly this helicopter comes in, you know, one of these big transporter helicopters comes in, thud, 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 and suddenly out of one of these big tents emerge a huge number of very athletic-looking guys in boots and shirts and this, that, and the other, who were obviously security men. And it was either Gaddafi or a lookalike that had come in. And the way he was waving around, it was almost as if he personally had arranged this eclipse to happen. It was quite a remarkable performance.
Can you believe that you saw Gaddafi? You go to Libya once and you see Gaddafi?
Well, a total solar eclipse is remarkable things happen.
Okay, to get a total solar eclipse, you need 3 things. The first thing you need is for the moon to be between us and the sun. That happens every month. It's called the new moon, and it's when the back of the moon is illuminated and we're looking at the dark side.
So the question is, why don't we have a total eclipse every 29 days? And the answer is because the plane of the orbit of the moon is slightly out of the plane of us and the sun.
Picture this. We've got the Earth revolving around the sun, the moon revolving around Earth, and you can kind of imagine the moon and the Earth's orbits like 2 hula hoops in a Venn diagram. The moon hula hoop is smaller, and it's also tilted. To get a total solar eclipse, you need those hula hoops to intersect. You need the moon to be exactly in line between the Earth and the sun.
So if this month we had a total eclipse because the moon was directly in line, next month, it'll be slightly above or slightly below the line of sight of the sun.
The third thing you need is for the moon to be near Earth in its orbit. So the moon's orbit around Earth is not a perfect circle. It's an oval. And the moon will only appear big enough in the sky to block out the sun when it's close to us in its orbit. When those 3 things coincide, you get a total solar eclipse. And it's very predictable where you can see it and when, which is why eclipse chasers have had their hotel rooms in Jackson, Wyoming booked for years. After the break, we'll explain what this is.
Oh, fabulous!
It is something that, as simple as I breathe, I'm going to the next total eclipse.
That's Kate Russo. She's been to 10 total solar eclipses.
It doesn't even occur to me that I'm not going to the next eclipse or the one after or the one after.
And not only does Kate like watching eclipses, she's also interested in why people are so passionate about them. Kate's background is in psychology, and she's written books on eclipses and eclipse chasers. She actually has a new one coming out this summer. It's called Being in the Shadow: Stories of the First Time Total Eclipse Experience.
So there's a feeling for the general population that eclipse chasers are just geeky, middle-aged men running around the world with telescopes.
Are they mostly men?
Yeah. Well, there are the invisibles who don't fall into that, you know, that demographic, including myself. I think it is skewed for men because I think you need a bit of resources behind you to chase eclipses. You also need to have flexibility and time. And I think that's why you tend to see more the retired men who have probably more flexibility and time.
Kate says that a subset of serious chasers are on a solar eclipse mailing list. It has about 800 subscribers, and Kate has surveyed that list for her research. And she found that they're mostly Americans, Europeans, and Australians, and that the group skews middle-aged or older. The cost of chasing varies. For example, Kate skipped the 2003 total solar eclipse in Antarctica because it was too expensive. If you put on your anthropologist hat, how would you describe the subculture?
I suppose it's like any hobby or, you know, group of fanatics or something. We all have our own quirks and language. You know, we call someone who hasn't seen a total eclipse, we call them eclipse virgins.
You're about to hear why, and I'm delighted to warn you that this might not be suitable for children.
Oh, my goodness.
You're hearing some YouTube audio of people viewing a total solar eclipse. And I just want you to know that this was the first clip that I found, and it's totally representative.
Well, there's similarities between the eclipse experience and the sexual response.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
come on. What a fabulous sight.
Come on, look at that.
Do you know that build-up, that excitement?
Oh!
Oh. Then the peak during totality.
Oh! Wait. Oh! Fabulous! Oh my goodness!
Yes, you can see it.
Yeah, we got it in the end.
You know, it's like you don't have any social filters of what you're saying. You're just suddenly swearing and, you know, carrying on or screaming out or crying.
Look at that!
That's fabulous.
You lose a sense of time, of where you are in the world, and you just seem to get this clarity about what your life is about, I guess.
Why would a solar eclipse do that?
I think it's one of those times when you can truly, truly be in the moment. Psychologists have this word flow. So it's like when you're in a position where all that matters is what you're doing, you're not focused up with worries or concerns, that you're just completely focused on what's in front of you. So we can experience moments of flow throughout the day or, you know, with meditation or even just doing, you know, playing the piano. But during a total solar eclipse, there's something like it's flow on, oh, ramped up. It's just like everything else around you doesn't matter. So it's like you lose your sense of self.
As someone on the outside of this community, this is like wild, the way that you talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard for people to relate to. Like, it sounds, it's just hard to fathom.
People have said to me, you know, they can understand the excitement about someone jumping out of a plane. You don't have to experience it. You know that it's going to be exciting and you can get it, right? But you kind of don't understand how a celestial event can be really exciting. But there's something very unique about the total solar eclipse, that there's an emotional aspect to it that really makes us feel so connected to humanity, that we're just humans on this earth in this vast big universe.
Maybe it should be compulsory viewing in the United States.
You know, I've always said for quite a few years now that the world would be a better place if everybody could see a total solar eclipse, and I 100% believe that.
And as you heard, we Americans are going to get the chance. It will be visible on a track going across the U.S. You can imagine a brushstroke, about 100 miles wide in diameter that starts south of Portland, Oregon, and cuts diagonally down through the Grand Tetons in Wyoming to Lincoln, Nebraska, through the outskirts of St. Louis, down to Charleston, South Carolina. If you're on that path, you will catch a total solar eclipse. If you're off the path in the continental U.S., you'll catch a partial eclipse. But as you heard, it's all about totality, and you really should be making your camping arrangements now, according to Frank and Kate.
If you have any experiences in the U.S. this summer, like we had in Europe in 1999, the German autobahns were just a parking lot. Everybody got into their auto thinking they were going to drive to see the eclipse and just got stuck in the biggest traffic jam you could ever imagine.
Oh, but it's so delightful to think that, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people would want to travel to see this. It's so uplifting.
Well, I think actually you probably underestimated. In practice, I would think that this eclipse is going to be seen by at least 10 million people.
Wow. Okay, so if I'm going to go and I want to fit in with regular eclipse chasers, what should I wear?
Well, the things are, it'll all happen so fast that you'll say, wow, what do I do next time? Well, one thing to do is to plan ahead and think, what do I want to do? If you want to take photographs, plan it ahead. And because although it lasts 3 minutes, at the end of it, you'll think it's lasted 30 seconds. You won't know where the time's gone.
Not to really harp on clothing, but I read in your book that there was a floppy hat style and buttons that I might look out for.
Yes, a lot of these eclipse tours make their own little buttons.
Do you collect them? Do you have a button collection?
I've got some T-shirts. Some of them are beautifully designed. If nobody in the USA has thought of making T-shirts of the eclipse and you do it as a result of this broadcast, I want my finder's fee.
Dr. Close, this is a great startup business. There's time.
Indeed.
This is the first total solar eclipse in the U.S. in 40 years. And Frank and Kate made it sound like it would be a huge mistake to not at least try to get to the path of totality.
You don't want to miss it. It is absolutely worth seeing at least once in your life. And because you haven't had one in the U.S. and this is so accessible, this path, your once in a lifetime should actually be now on August the 21st. You will not be disappointed, I guarantee you.
Even the very best photographs will not have anything at all as magical as what you yourself will experience by being there. You just have to trust me.
It seems to me like eclipses are in defense of liveness or something. You know, we are so, our lives, many of our lives are so screen attached. And this is about witnessing something in the moment.
It's ephemeral. And it reminded me in a profound way of, I think it's in Japan where they have these ice carvings. People make beautiful carvings out of ice. And of course, they're so beautiful, but they melt away. And so you know it is only there for a very brief time. And in a strange way, that is what makes them so beautiful. I suppose it's a metaphor for life. You know, we are here for a finite period. Make use of it.
I think the eclipse chasers get at what we're aiming for with the show. I mean, what could be more every day than the sun and the moon? But then you look at them in a certain moment when everything aligns in just the right way, and they bring you to tears. And that is what this show is trying to do. Make you cry. No, but you know what I mean. We want to bring you information that makes you feel like this. Are you going to go see the eclipse? If you do, we want to see pictures. I can't get enough of the voice recordings, so send them along. You can write us at elt@gimletmedia.com. Thanks to Rick Feinberg at the American Astronomical Society. That hula hoop metaphor was helpful. They have an informative eclipse page at eclipse.aas.org. Also, because we're a new show, if you could rate us on iTunes, we would really appreciate it.
Every Little Thing is produced by Flora Lichtman with Christine Driscoll and me, Ngofen Putubwele. Our senior producer is Catherine Wells. Our editor is Annie Rose Strasser. Engineering from Dara Hirsch. Our music today comes from Martin Crane. Every Little Thing comes out on Mondays at noon Eastern.